The companions stopped shooting, and for a few moments could only stare at the smashed war machine in amazement. Ryan levered in another round, purely out of habit.
Nuke me. We took out a sec hunter. That never happened before, not this easy. Damn droid must have been held together by little more than its wiring and paint job.
Doc waved the thick acrid fumes away from the muzzle of his blaster.
It appears that immutable time has done the job for us.
JB removed the spent clip from his Uzi and eased in a fresh one.
Better stay sharp. There could be another.
True enough. The companions once found five of the droids in a redoubt and barely escaped alive. At a gesture from Ryan, Jack and Doc started doing a wreck sweep of the garage, moving through the amassed collection of civilian and military vehicles, searching for other droids in hiding. While the rest of the companions carefully watched the men doing the search, Christy walked past the pile of mechanical debris on the floor and held out her fingers, testing the air.
Feel that? This crack is where the hot air is coming from. Might reach all the way to the outside.
Fireblast. She might be right, Ryan realized, and quickly checked the rad counter clipped to his lapel to see the device was registering only standard background activity. It was just heat, not radiation, from a new crater in the vicinity.
Think it's another volcano?
Don't smell any sulfur, but that doesn't mean the area's clear.
Dean knelt to look underneath the parked wags nearby.
What about that scream we heard? Think it was somebody trying to get in and the droid aced him?
Sure as hell possible. Let's find out.
Reaching into her satchel, the physician unearthed a flashlight and pumped the small handle attached to the survivalist tool several times to charge the batteries inside. She pressed the button, and the flashlight gave off a weak, yellowish light. The bulb was old, and the batteries were gradually dying from sheer age, but it was a lot better than the candles and torches the companions carried in their backpacks. Playing the pale beam around inside the crack, she could see the jagged opening only reached a few yards into the thick wall, and appeared to make a sharp angle to the right.
Looks like a dead end.
Then, a scraping noise caught Mildred's attention, and the woman pulled back just in time as a wriggling creature charged into view. In the feeble beam of the flashlight, all she could see were fangs and wild hair.
Muties!
She scrambled backward and fired her blaster. The creature screamed like a human child, and the companions paused for a moment, unsure of their target until the thing reached the edge of the crack and reared into the light. Even in the fluorescent lights, at first it appeared to be some kind of a fuzzy worm or a big caterpillar, its belly coated with thousands of tiny legs endlessly moving. But the head possessed no eyes or ears, only a wide segmented mouth and a set of fanged pincers that closed to overlap each other like scythes.
Millipedes!
So that was what the droid had been doing, trying to keep out the mutant insect.
Aim for the head!
Ryan stepped around the redhead to get a clear view. Fireblast, the thing had pincers on both ends. So which was the head? Or was the brain somewhere in the middle? Firing a short burst from the Uzi, JB cursed as the rapid fire jammed on a bad cartridge. Dropping the weapon, he pulled the SMW M4000 shotgun out of his backpack, jacked the slide with a jerk, and cut loose with a hellstorm of flechettes. The millipede exploded into gobbets of pulsating flesh, tiny legs flying everywhere, as the fusillade of steel slivers cut the writhing mutie in two, both ends pumping geysers of pink blood. But incredibly, both ends continued to move and attack.
Not the head! Aim for the heart!
Mildred danced out of the way of the sharp pinchers. The fanged mandibles closed on a piece of the droid, denting the metal. Even as the companions peppered the creature with lead, it savaged the broken droid for a few seconds before turning back toward them. What was going on here? Ryan wondered. The damn bug was probably attracted to the intense magnetic fields of droids and the huge power plant on the bottom level of the redoubt. Mildred remembered hearing about how nuclear power plants back in her day had endless problems with invading cockroaches and such. Then the area around the redoubt could be infested with dozens, maybe hundreds of these monstrosities. Wonderful. Climbing onto the buckled hood of a car, Jack held the cold python in both hands and aimed downward at the snapping mutie, cocking back the hammer.
We're hot!
The thick red band in the middle!
Which one? There are two bands, madam.
Doc ducked sideways as he triggered the thunderous Lamar once more. A fist-sized chunk of flesh was ripped off the mutie, blood hosing from the gaping wound in one of the red bands around its body. But the thing never slowed nor stopped.
Hit them both!
Ryan let loose on the mutant horror. Moving behind the creature, Dean crouched and discharged his Browning directly into the segmented face of the bleeding millipede. But the end of the bug only rippled from the impact, as if he were shooting into a pool of water.
Use the Grenz!
Boy emptied his blaster at point-blank range, but only succeeded in cracking a pincher. The broken stub oozed blood, but the bug seemed only enraged, not mortally wounded from the damage.
We're too close! Gotta take it out this way!
As it surged for him, Dean jumped out of the way of the mutie, and the creature went underneath the APC.
Look out! It's behind us!
He yanked the spent clip and reloaded. Down to one more loaded clip, then he would have to use his knife. Dropping onto his belly, Dean spotted the piece of bug circling around the axle and coming back for him. Jack appeared from the other side of the chassis, and they both pumped hot lead into the mutie. Guts flew everywhere, spraying the belly armor of the APC with stringy goop, and the bug curled into a ball as it pumped out sticky blood and finally died.
Got one piece!
Dean stood and looked for another target. But the last section of the millipede was already reduced to ragged pieces, the companions crunching the segmented body flat under their heavy combat boots.
Anyone hurt?
Ryan yanked out a spent magazine from the Stire and inserted a new one. When there was no answer, he continued.
Okay, let's find something to block that bastard hole.
Going to the nearest wag, Christy grabbed the rusty door of a smashed station wagon and tried to pull it off the frame. With hardly any effort on her part, the door ripped free and hit the floor, bursting into pieces, completely eaten by rust. Useless. Lifting a piece of the droid, Ryan tried to shimmy it into the crack, but there were too many gaps around the chrome metal from the irregular shape of the crevice. He left it there as a start and checked the droid for anything else, but all of the other parts were either too large or much too small.
My kingdom for a bag of nails.
Then Doc spied the workbench and headed that way. At the same time, JB thumbed fresh cartridges into his shotgun.
Maybe we can use busted glass from the windshields. Used to work keeping out the rats back in Colorado.
Sounds good.
Ryan turned away from the droid. Mildred reloaded her target pistol and snapped the cylinder shut. Tucking the blaster away, she yanked a hubcap off a civilian wag to hold it at arm's length inside a civilian vehicle. Still on its hood, Jack smashed the windshield with the butt of his Colt, and the glass shattered into a million pieces, overfilling the hubcap. In disgust, Mildred stared at the pile of tiny, sparkling green cubes pouring out of the hubcap.
Oh, safety glass! Couldn't cut yourself on the stuff if you tried!
How about the headlights?
No, not enough glass. What else you use?
Hell, I don't know.
Checking the gauges at a fuel pump, JB turned and shook his head at the others. The reservoir was completely dry. Only a faint exhalation of escaping gas came from the nozzle.
Went dry over the century.
He returned the nozzle to its indented rack. So much for a firewall to stop any more bugs. Taking the keys from the ignition, Dean opened the trunk of the car and carried over a spare tire, sliding it into the crack on top of the piece of the droid. Then he rushed away to rummage for another. Busting open a dusty soda machine, Christy started throwing in glass pop bottles, the glass shattering at the rear of the crack. But there were only a few. The rest were made of plastic or aluminum cans. Carrying over a corroded bumper from a Cadillac, Ryan added it to the pile, shoving the chrome-plated metal as far back as he could. It wasn't much, but it was a start. Abandoning the workbench, Doc went to a nearby closet and yanked open the door. He hauled a 20-gallon container into view.
By the three Kennedys! Gasoline! Hundreds of containers!
But Ryan could see the military identification number on the side of the cans and knew what the man had found was a lot more valuable than gas or shine. It was condensed fuel. Unlike other flammable liquids, the stuff didn't evaporate worth a damn, yet worked equally well in civilian engines and military diesels. What the hell it was made of, he had no fragging idea. Not even Mildred could make a guess. But the stuff did the job, and that was all that really mattered.
This must have been what the droid was sent to guard. Juice enough for a fleet of wags. Okay, start hauling them out. We can block the crack with some fireballs, using a hubcap as a basin and some rope as a wick. Two or three should do the job.
Nothing like fire, except stickies.
Then maybe we can get one of these wags working and leave. The farther we get from this hellhole, the better.
I'll find some rope.
Dean ran to a workbench on the far wall.
Check the Hummers. They always carry spare tackle.
On it!
I'll find more bottles for Molotovs. Maybe there's some of those foam coffee cups in the kitchen.
Jack, go with her. Nobody goes anywhere alone until we're far from these triple cursed things.
The albino teenager grunted in agreement and joined the woman at the stairs to disappear into the bowels of the redoubt. Meanwhile, the remaining companions started for the closet to assist in clearing out the fuel cans. Four of the containers were already in a line on the garage floor, and as Doc turned back for another load, he spat a curse in Latin and pulled out his lama to shoot at something. Whatever he hit screamed like a child inside the closet, and blood sprayed onto the floor.
There's another crack!
Doc backed away from the room of volatile fuel. He was holding the trigger down on his single-action weapon, a raised palm hovering above the hammer to fan the black powder cannon into action, but he withheld shooting. The bugs were crawling over the cans of fuel. One ricochet, and that entire area of the redoubt could be engulfed in a firestorm. As a millipede dropped off the last row of cans and started out of the supply closet, Doc shot it twice at both ends, blowing off its pinchers. Already moving, Ryan and JB charged forward to hit the door with their full weight. It slammed shut, cutting the insect in two. Pumping blood, the mutie wailed in agony, and Doc soundly kicked it away, the dying bug hitting the wall with a splat and leaving a gruesome stain. Mildred trained her ZKR on the door.
That's where the first crack leads to! The damn fuel storage closet!
Droid couldn't stop them there without chancing that the whole damn base would blow, and neither can we.
How many bugs do you think there are?
Dean quickly thumbed fresh rounds into the spent clip of his Browning. He shoved it into a pocket and started on another. Not too many loose rounds were left, so he'd have to make every shot count. Even as the door shuddered from an impact on the other side, Ryan caught a flurry of motion in the crack.
Too many!
Ryan pumped lead into the darkness. The muzzle flash of the weapon lit the crevice in a wild strobe, just enough to show a swarm of millipedes crawling along the sides and top of the opening past the makeshift barricade.
Back to the Matrans, now!
Ryan fired the Stire. There was a gush of blood and a childlike scream, but another mutie crawled over the twitching corpse to reach the edge of the crack and snap at the companions. Riding the Uzi in short controlled bursts, JB laid down some suppressive fire with his blaster, while the others retreated for the stairs. From there, they covered the man until he joined them. Christy yelled up from the next level below, her arms loaded with foam coffee cups.
What the hell is going on? We're leaving!
Mildred leaned against the stairwell door to try to keep it closed.
Anybody know a way to lock this thing in place?
Whistling sharply, Jack tossed a knife upward and Ryan caught it by the handle, then rammed the thick blade under the door jamb. Hesitantly, the others released the door and it held, but clearly not for long. Nobody needed any encouragement to start racing down the stairs. As they reached the middle level, there was a slam from above and a rustling sound that grew in volume. The companions charged through the flickering control room. Jack tried to stab another knife under the jamb, but it wouldn't hold. Abandoning the effort, the group moved into the antechamber, closing the vanadium steel door and locking it tight. Doc mopped his brow with a handkerchief.
Safe at last.
Seconds later, there was a thump against the metal, followed by a scratching noise as something raked across the dense material. JB removed his glasses and tucked them into a shirt pocket.
Damn bugs are fast.
Mildred, any more jump juice?
She shook the empty canteen.
Sorry, not a drop.
Too bad for us then. Everybody in.
Ryan strode to the chamber. As the companions crowded into the unit, the heavy thumping increased against the steel portal to the chamber. Then a soft electronic mist started to gather at the ceiling and floor. A tingle filled their bones. But even as the companions felt themselves drop through the floor into the infinity of the sub-electronic void, they noticed a change, a subtle shifting from the usual procedure. And they instantly knew that something was terribly wrong.